Good morning and welcome to everyone. Anybody notice anything different? We won't discuss that comment. Yeah, I've been told by my eye doctor that I'm supposed to wear glasses all the time. Now, there is a disadvantage for you guys. Now I can see long distance, so I'll be able to know who's fallen asleep. Anyway, it's taken me a while to get used to them, but I guess they're working fine. Many of us have heard it said that the Bible is God's instruction manual for mankind. Among other things, it includes information and advice on how we should live our lives. And yet, for some reason, many don't want to open it up and see what it actually says. I guess it's a whole lot easier to assume that we are on the same page with God without looking into the Bible. Why is it that some people really don't want to at least check out what God says on a matter? Well, we probably know the answer to that. We can claim ignorance if we don't really know what it says. But when we do read it, what if we refuse to follow what it says? Many who do read and hear what God says think His instructions don't apply to them, or that they no longer apply to any of us today. According to our booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, the statement is, today the popular approach is to accept and validate all opinions no matter what they are. Unless, of course, it's God's opinions. If we're not careful, our attitude, an attitude picked up from those that are around us, can be that all people are entitled to their opinion. That all people have the right to share that opinion with others. That no one has the right to demonstrate or prove that their opinion should be listened to. And that they have the right that is valid and worthwhile just because they voiced it. I can't help but wonder how long we'll really have freedom of speech in this country. With this approach of accepting and validating any and all opinions, we give credibility to anyone and everyone. Basically, it doesn't matter whether the individual is a rocket scientist or a street cleaner. If that person has an opinion, it's okay. Even if it's an area that someone doesn't know anything about, or they think they know something about, but probably don't. And what can be even more dangerous is what happens when someone is considered wise because of training in a specific area, areas like the legal profession or medical field. An article in Wednesday's Tampa Tribune pointed out something that I personally have named the MD disease for a number of years. I'm referring to the fact that once a person is qualified in a particular area, he or she suddenly assumes that they know everything about everything. Quoting from the article, and the article was referring to a specific physician, like other physicians before him, he has benefited from the public's transposing his medical credentials into other areas. In the medical world, expertise is rigorously defined and is restricted by and large to the specialty in which one earned those merits. But when doctors choose to step outside that world, whether to advise someone or take a public platform, they become a de facto expert in anything and everything. That credibility seems to extend to subjects beyond medicine. It's not always easy to recognize that a person who is an expert in one area is not credible in all areas. How many times have you seen athletes or actors give their opinion about their area that is completely outside their domain? Why do we think their opinion is worth anything more than just an opinion? If popular opinions or the opinions of anyone else are our guide, we can be in trouble. The majority today do not see any harm in stacking their opinions against the teachings of Christ and God the Father. In fact, when Christ says, don't do something, does that stop anyone from doing whatever he's telling us not to do? If you showed an average person a direct quote from their own Bible telling them not to do something you know they were doing, wouldn't their answer probably begin with, yes, but? My mother used to get so irritated at me when I listened to her and then often responded, yes, but. Of course, I went on to give my why I didn't want to do what she was asking me to do. And far too often, that's what we do in many areas of our lives. We seem to have no fear that Christ may have meant exactly what he said. No excuses, no exceptions, no yes buts. And that's the problem we can have when accepting anyone and everyone's opinions. They have no fear that just maybe their opinion and God's is not in agreement. God certainly makes it clear to us that that's going to be the case. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. The problem is when people find that their opinion doesn't match with what God says in his words, it doesn't matter. They don't seem to care. Living without considering the fact that God made us and has our best interests in mind and has big plans for us is not wise. And God has some comments to make about these people. Isaiah 5, verse 21. This will be from the New King James. Isaiah 5:21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. The Good News Bible says, you are doomed, you who think you are wise, so very clever. Today I'd like to look at the subject of wisdom. God addresses many subjects in the Bible that are for our benefit. The real advantage of wisdom is it ultimately leads to our salvation. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul gives some advice to Timothy. Timothy, keep safe what has been entrusted to your care. Avoid the profane talk and foolish arguments of what some people wrongly call knowledge. For some have claimed to possess it, and as a result, they have lost the way of faith. Continuing with the same theme, let's look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in the truths that you were taught and firmly believe. You know who your teachers were, and you remember that ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible is full of the wisdom we need to live happy lives now and to help us reach the kingdom. Can we learn the way to the kingdom with just this world's wisdom? Of course, we know the answer to that. 1 Corinthians 3:18 tells us what God thinks of our wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:18. You should not fool yourself. If any of you think you are wise by this world's standards, you should become a fool in order to be really wise. For what this world considers to be wisdom is nonsense in God's sight. As the scripture says, God traps the wise in their cleverness. And another scripture says, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are worthless. No one then should boast about what human beings can do. The result of this world's wisdom, while it might seem good temporarily, can often lead to bad results. It's dangerous to use this world's wisdom without coupling it with God's wisdom. The wisdom we find in this world is temporary. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God doesn't need our wisdom, but we need His. Let's look at James 3, starting in 13. James 3, verses 13 to 17. Are there any of you who are wise and understanding? You are to prove it by your good life, by your good deeds, performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and friendly. It is full of compassion and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. God's wisdom is based upon His spiritual law. It considers the ultimate effect on everyone. Some of the rewards of wisdom can be found in Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. My child, learn what I teach you, and never forget what I tell you to do. Listen to what is wise and try to understand it. Yes, beg for knowledge, plead for insight. Look for it as hard as you would for silver or some hidden treasure. If you do, you will know what it means to fear the Lord, and you will succeed in learning about God. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From Him come knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. He protects those who treat others fairly and guards those who are devoted to Him. If you listen to me, you will know what you should do. You will become wise, and your knowledge will give you pleasure. Your insight and understanding will protect you and prevent you from doing the wrong thing. They will keep you away from people who stir up trouble by what they say. Basically, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to a question or problem and come up with the right solution or decision. That's exactly what people who are ignoring God's instruction are not doing. Knowledge includes facts, information, and ideas. Wisdom is the ability to judge and apply that knowledge in a right manner. It includes understanding, discernment, common sense, judgment, and insight. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. We all know some people that have facts and figures at their fingertips, but seem to have trouble connecting the dots about what they really mean. And it's not enough to be able to quote whole parts of the Bible if that knowledge doesn't help you make wise decisions or draw the right conclusion using that knowledge. The whole point of acquiring any knowledge is to be able to apply it and use it properly. Two examples of the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that a particular road you need to take will take you through an area where there are no gas stations for 100 miles. Wisdom is making sure you have a full tank of gas before you start. Another example, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Wisdom is not something that we automatically inherit or just come by. Yet it's a quality we need to keep increasing in our lives as the challenges that we face every day become more and more complex. Fortunately for us, wisdom is something that we can obtain. Even Jesus himself said, I can of myself do nothing. That's from John 5, verse 30. He had to receive wisdom and guidance from God. We are even more likely to make a mistake if we don't ask for wisdom and guidance from God every day. Paul said, not many Christians have wisdom when first converted. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:26. I'm going to read this from the Good News. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Now remember what you were, my friends, when God called you. From the human point of view, few of you were wise or powerful or of high social standing. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us would agree we weren't powerful or of high social standing. How many of us are willing to admit that we weren't wise? In other words, do we think that we were one of the few that were wise when God called us? Verse 27. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. According to the New King James Study Bible, the wise here refers to Greek philosophers, but it could certainly apply to anyone who considers themselves above the rest of us intellectually. Continuing, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. Verse 28, he chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. The bottom line is, God uses what is considered foolish and despised so that he alone will receive the glory. Verse 30. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. If we think we're already wise, we may be deceiving ourselves, as we already read in 1 Corinthians 3:18. Even if we do have a degree of wisdom, none of us has as much. Proverbs 3, verse 7 warns us against thinking we are wise. Never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Unfortunately, that can be very hard for us to do. Most of us don't know what we don't know. We're referred to by researchers as unconscious incompetence. In other words, we don't know what we don't know. In spite of this incompetence, we make decisions as if we knew everything. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. One of the earliest reflections about wisdom can be found in the book of Job. In chapter 28, Job expresses his thoughts on wisdom. Job 28, starting in verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Verse 15. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? Verse 23. God understands its way and he knows its place. Verse 27. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it and indeed he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Do those words sound familiar? Well, they should, of course. We can read these words in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good who do his commandments. The place to begin to acquire wisdom is to fear God. By that, fear is to fear to disobey God in his right way of life. I've mentioned before that we have a great future awaiting us as kings and priests when we either come up in the first resurrection or are changed in the spirit at Christ's return. We don't want to miss out on that by disobeying or failing to continue on the path that will lead us to eternal life. The beginning of wisdom is when you realize that the best you can do is live by the rules that God has given us, because they will keep us on the path to eternal life. Much of the Bible is about wisdom and how to acquire it. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is one of the main themes of the book of Proverbs. Having this fear to lose out on our promises, is the beginning of wisdom. Many other verses in Proverbs reference the fear of the Lord. and how those who are wise make sure to follow God's instructions and avoid ignoring the advice that he gives us. The Proverbs often contrast two different paths of life. And of course, we know the path that we're supposed to stay on. Learning to fear God and departing from evil means we have to study the scriptures to learn what to do. And as we learn, we should learn to fear disobeying what we have learned. According to chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, the book of Proverbs was written to teach people. Proverbs 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. There are different types of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul was pointing out the wisdom he was using in his teaching came from the Holy Spirit, not from any man. Let's read more of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 1. When I came to you, my friends, to preach the testimony of God, I did not use big words and great learning. For while I was with you, I made up my mind to forget everything except Jesus Christ and especially his crucifixion. So when I came to you, I was weak and trembled all over with fear, and my teaching and message were not delivered with skillful words of human wisdom, but the power of God's Spirit. Verse 5, your faith then does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yet I do proclaim a message of wisdom to those who are spiritually mature. But it is not the wisdom that belongs to this world or to the powers that rule this world, powers that are losing their power. The wisdom I proclaim is God's secret wisdom, which is hidden from human beings, but which he has already chosen for our glory even before the world was made. None of the rulers of this world knew this wisdom. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as the scripture says, what no one ever saw or heard, what no one ever thought could happen, is the very thing God prepared for those who love him. In verse 10, but it was to us that God made known his secret by means of his Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the hidden depths of God's purposes. It is only our own Spirit within us that knows all about us. In the same way, only God's Spirit knows all about God. We have not received the world's Spirit. Instead, we've received the Spirit sent by God so that we may know all that God has given us. So then, we do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths to those who have the Spirit. Whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. Such a person really does not understand them, and they seem to be nonsense because their value can only be judged on a spiritual basis. Whoever has the Spirit, however, is able to judge the value of everything. But no one is able to judge him. As the scripture says, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who is able to give advice? We, however, have the mind of Christ. What we want to get from these verses is that we've been blessed to receive God's wisdom through his Holy Spirit. Man's wisdom is the wisdom of this age and is of little value for those of us called by God unless we have God's wisdom to go along with it. Every one of us that's tried to show a family member or close friend why we believe differently than we did before, knows it is impossible for them to get it if they don't have God's Holy Spirit to help them get it. And as we read in verse 14, whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. Such a person really does not understand them, and they seem to be nonsense because their value can be judged only on a spiritual basis. If we think about it, none of us got it. We received the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 18, we see confirmation of the fact that understanding comes from God, not man's wisdom. And again, I'm going to use the Good News Translation. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. Verse 21. For God in His wisdom made it impossible for people to know Him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive, a stumbling block, to Jews and nonsense to Greeks. But for those whom God has called, the message is Christ, who has the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The basis for all godly wisdom is the Word of God, not the works of Erasmus or Darwin or Kant or Stephen Hawking or any other scientist, humanist, or politician you can name. I could name many more, but I can't pronounce many of the names. It's the Word of God that's the basis. So if someone's opinion is contrary to what we read in the Bible, why would we validate that opinion just because they think their opinion matters? If we think we can decide everything for ourselves, we've fallen for a trick that Satan has pulled on the rest of the world. Satan wants us to believe that every aspect of life is simply a matter of personal choice. Satan would like everyone to believe that they can decide what is right and wrong. Satan would love for us to believe these things because it would undermine our fear of God and respect for His Word. If we think nothing matters beside our feelings and what we think, in what we choose to do, we've managed to play into Satan's hands by no longer God's Word and looking at His opinion first and foremost. We need the kind of wisdom that will help us learn to think as God thinks, to reject once and for all the idea that we know better than God about anything. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, verses 5 to 9. Get wisdom and insight. Do not forget or ignore what I say. Do not abandon wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will keep you safe. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom and she will make you great. Embrace her and she will bring you honor. She will be your crowning glory. So how do we get wisdom? How about ask for it? James 1 verse 5. James 1 verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, we need to remember that we all do to one level or not. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wisdom is one of the spiritual gifts that God gives us. You can look that up for yourself in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. Of course, the most outstanding example of God giving wisdom to someone who asked for it is Solomon. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 7. First Kings 3, verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 12, behold, I have done according to your works. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone arise after you. Another example of someone that God gave wisdom to was Daniel. And Daniel absolutely recognized that God was the source of wisdom. When he explained to Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of the dream he had, his first words pointed out that God was the source of all wisdom. Daniel 2, verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. The second half of verse 21. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. I thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and might, and you have made me and have now made known to me what we asked of you. In Daniel 12, the archangel Michael gave Daniel an instruction. Daniel 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The Good News Bible, instead of run to and fro, translated, many people will waste their efforts trying to understand what is happening. The statement, knowledge shall increase, is a reference to knowledge that pertains to these prophecies about the period of tribulation just before the coming of Christ. In the New Testament, we can see confirmation that we can know what others do not know. John 16, verse 13. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, it will lead you into all the truth. It will not speak on its own authority, but will speak of what it hears and will tell you of things to come. The point is that we can understand the prophecies if we remember that God was actually involved in revealing all truth. The New King James Study Bible reminds us that the wise not only understand salvation themselves, they also turn many others to the way of righteousness. And isn't that why we're trying to put forth our efforts to preach the gospel? Both the gospel message we send out by the internet, the webcast, or by the messages we preach personally by our own, or that we should be able to preach by our actions, not just our words. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. There has been enough time for you to be teachers, yet you still need someone to teach you the first lessons of God's message. Instead of eating solid food, you still have to drink milk. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a child, without any experience in the matter of right or wrong. Solid food, on the other hand, is for adults who through practice will be able to distinguish between good and evil. The wisdom we seek is to help us live by every word of God, to help us know the difference between right or wrong, and beyond just a list of do's and don'ts. We need to come to understand the results of our actions. Most importantly, as we've already read in Proverbs 1, verse 7, to have wisdom, you must fear. That is, to hold in awe and respect the Word of God. While we're probably not going to have the opportunity to interpret a dream for any of the rulers of the world, we need wisdom in many ways. We can't begin to have good relationships without wisdom. We need wisdom when we deal with teachers or administrators at school. We need wisdom when dealing with the people we work with or the people we work for. How many times have we caused challenges in our relationships with other people on the job because we didn't use wisdom? We don't know what's going on in someone's mind or all the factors that make up a situation, but God does, and He can give us the wisdom we need to respond wisely and stay out of trouble. Having wisdom will protect us and the church as a whole. The time is coming when we truly will have to live by the admonition we see in Matthew. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How will we answer some of the questions that we will face? We can't always blurb out whatever pops into our head. We need wisdom, tact, and love for the person that's asking the question. We need to put our minds in gear before we open our mouths. We can't be too hasty to respond. We've probably all heard the saying, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. And if we really don't know what to do, we shouldn't try anything until we've had time to think about it. If we don't know what to do in a particular situation, seek counsel. Proverbs 24 reminds us, Proverbs 24, verse 6, that in a multitude of counselors are safety. Of course, you want to make sure that you choose the right counselors. You don't want to be asking an overly opinionated person, the kind of person that hasn't necessarily examined all the facts, but has formed an opinion that they will stick to no matter what. Sadly, sometimes when we form an opinion, even presented with facts that should encourage us to change our mind, we somehow change those facts in our mind so that we hold to our same opinion. We certainly don't want to get advice from someone who is not obeying God or someone who might have the same weaknesses as we do. We want to seek counsel from those who obey God and who are in a right and submissive attitude toward Him, and those that don't think too highly of themselves. When we're involved in making decisions, we want to act in a way that will bring the best results for others as well as ourselves. That's not an easy thing to do. We want to make sure that we consider the consequences of our actions. We want to make sure that we consider all the facts before we answer a question or take action. In other words, we want to make sure we use God's Holy Spirit to help us make sure we do things in a godly manner. Whenever we need to make an important decision, let's make sure we understand any scriptures that might relate to the problem. Open up our instruction manual and study it and follow it. We need to be a people that never stop praying to God to give us wisdom and discernment to make the right choices. As time goes on, there'll be more elements to put into the equation to add confusion and to mix us up. That's part of the sifting and sorting process of the plan of salvation. The admonition for us to get wisdom is repeated throughout Proverbs. It covers a multitude of situations and purposes. It's something we need to desperately get through the. We don't just need the kind of wisdom that will keep us from losing any money in our retirement plans, or the kind of wisdom that will help us stretch a dollar, although that kind of wisdom can be helpful. We need the kind of wisdom that will help us learn to think as God thinks. For example, if God is love, how are we doing at becoming people of love? Do we have compassion for others to the point where we would not say or do anything that might hurt them? Christ was often put on the spot. How did he avoid trouble? Let's look at a couple of examples. We'll start with the one in Matthew 21. Jesus had been using some parables, and in verse 45, Matthew 25, verse 45. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. And rather than trying to lay hands on them, as it says in verse 36, they decided on a different approach. Chapter 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. In other words, they were trying to catch him in the response that he gave to their question. Verse 16, and they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians. The Herodians were a supporters of the Roman government, so they were actually the opposite of the Pharisees. Apparently, their common hatred of Christ made the Pharisees and the Herodians join forces to try to trap Jesus. The question the Herodians posed in verse 17 was, "What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" According to the New King James Study Bible, the dilemma is obvious. To side with the Pharisees and risk being accused of insurrection against the Roman government, or to side with Herodians and lose the favor of the masses. The Jews despise paying this tax to their hated oppressors. Verse 18. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me your tax money." So they brought him a coin. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Where did he get his wisdom? The only possible place would have been from God. Of course, the Pharisees never gave up. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, and they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. We might call that edema today, or a fluid back up in the skin. Verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. If anyone had ever been in a position to just tell it like it is, it would have been Christ. But he used wisdom and love for those he knew had not yet had the veil removed from their eyes. Let's turn to Luke 11. In Luke 11, verses 53 and 54, we see that the scribes and Pharisees began to assault him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Well, we know that finally they had to resort to false witnesses to find something to accuse him of. What are we going to do when we become the object of questioning or possible false accusations? Let's remind ourselves of what we read in Luke 12, Luke 12, 11. "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." We can be given the wisdom that we need to say just what we need to say and no more. In his final prayer, Jesus left the disciples with some words that also have meaning for us today. Let's look at John 16, beginning verse 12. John 16, verse 12. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come." God's Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God and allows us to understand the truth. allowing us to lead us. We don't want to let our emotions guide and direct us. We don't want our personal opinions to get in the way. I've mentioned something before called confirmation bias. For us, it could be called proof texting. That is, just finding those facts or opinions that support the conclusion we want or expect. We ignore any evidence that suggests that our ideas may be a little weak, or maybe even absolutely wrong. In the church, we can end up doing this and misuse or misinterpret scriptures to support what we want to believe. A very dangerous game and a clear example of why we need to pray for wisdom. Another reason that I haven't mentioned so far as to why we need wisdom is we need to be able to understand the events that are happening around us. Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A wise person will see trouble coming and avoid it, but an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later. That advice is repeated in Proverbs 27, verse 12. When a wise man sees trouble coming, he prepares himself. He avoids it if possible. We need to know what to do and how to make the right decisions under different and what may be possibly difficult conditions. Obviously, we want wisdom and understanding, especially about God's laws. That's where we should start. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Let's make sure that we're not foolish.